I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Are you afraid of death? Why? Is it because you're not sure of your eternal destiny? Or is your fear more about the process of dying, the way your death comes about? I would say that some fear of the process is normal, because none of us know how it may be for us at the end. The fact that we don't know is a bit scary. But if you're afraid of death because you're not sure of your eternal destiny, I'm glad to tell you that fear can be eliminated. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. If you're a first-time listener, we give you a special welcome. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ, with the goal of fulfilling the Great Commission in our lifetime. Each week, we create a new teaching program that's grounded in the Holy Scriptures, and that teaching is delivering listeners from the fear of death. How do we know? Because they tell us. Like this response from a listener who lives in a country that I won't name for security reasons. Listen, a year ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am a newborn baby in Christ, and I am learning His Word through the radio program. I am illiterate, so without the radio program, I would know nothing. Through faith in Jesus, I now know my Jesus as my Savior and my salvation. God has given me spiritual food daily. The Holy Spirit taught me to pray to God and put my complete trust in Him. The radio program gives me something new every time. Praise God, this listener has no more fear of dying. I hope that's your testimony. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation, your eternal destiny is secure, and you can rest in that assurance. And when you finally enter his presence, you will bow before him in worship rather than bow in judgment. Praise God. Now stay tuned for my teaching, Delivered from Death. Back in the late 1970s, when I still lived at home with my parents, it was the day before Christmas, and my dad and I had made a trip to a local store to pick up some last-minute items. And I remember that as we were driving home, the roads were snow-covered. We were about a mile or two from our home, and we were rounding a curve when I looked ahead and saw another car coming toward me, and that car was across the center line. So I immediately began to slow down and to edge my way over toward the shoulder of the road. But we were crossing a small stream, and the guardrails left almost no room for me to get off the road. When the oncoming driver saw us, she panicked, and she applied the brakes. Those of you who live in snow country know exactly what happened, without me saying anything more. When the driver applied the brakes, she lost control of the car, and it headed straight for us. If she had just left off the accelerator and gently steered to the right, not using the brakes at all, I think she could have avoided hitting us. By that time, I had come to a complete stop, and I was just inches from the guardrail. There was nothing else to do but sit and wait for the impact. So there was a loud crash and the jolt of the impact, and the hood of the car flew up, blocking our vision. Now, fortunately, my dad and I weren't seriously injured, and I don't believe the other driver was either, as I recall, but I think she was treated for shock at the scene. You know, it's amazing, something like this that unfolds in just a few seconds can seem to take a long time. But my point is this, there was absolutely nothing I could do to avoid that accident. Have you faced circumstances in your life beyond your control? Situations where it seemed to you there was no way out. Perhaps it looked so hopeless that you despaired of any positive outcome. You know, when you reach that point, it can be so hard to remember the promises of God. There's a man in Scripture who faced numerous situations where he despaired of life itself. That man was the Apostle Paul. And in our continuing study from his second letter to the Corinthian church, we'll look at one of those situations and how the apostle responded. I've titled today's teaching, Delivered from Death, and it's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 to 14. So I invite you to listen now as I read these words from Holy Scripture. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8 and reading through verse 14. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand, even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus. In these verses, we see the several means by which we are delivered from death to live with confidence. The first means by which we are delivered from death is by divine intervention. In our previous study from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul reminded his readers that God's comfort was sufficient for any trouble or affliction they would face. To drive home the point, he now shares a personal experience with them. He refers in our text to something that happened to him in Asia. He isn't specific, so we don't really know what it is that he's referring to, but it may be that the Corinthians did know. Maybe it was the mob in Ephesus, or Priscilla and Aquila risking their lives for his, or the death threats that led to his hasty departure from the city of Ephesus. At any rate, none of these were just mild irritations. The word picture that's here is of something pressed out of measure, a crushing burden, something unable to be carried under normal circumstances. In fact, it was so heavy, so grievous, that Paul even despaired of his own life. The Greek word literally means no passage. In other words, Paul saw no way out. And even though this experience was in the past, it seems like it was still very real in Paul's mind. Now, perhaps like me, you've relived an experience like that again and again. But then let's look at what happened. Just as Paul had written in those earlier verses in chapter 1, God showed up. And even though Paul's tribulation seemed like a death sentence, God intervened. That intervention spared Paul's life, and it also taught him a valuable lesson. I believe it's a lesson that you and I need to learn as well. And here it is. God allows us to experience seemingly impossible situations to teach us that our intellect, our possessions, our status, or our connections to important people are all inadequate to see us through difficulty. Like the Apostle Paul, we need to learn to trust completely in God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to meet our need in our times of crisis. Divine intervention spared Paul's life in a very traumatic situation, but it did more than that. Let's look at what he says in verse 10. We trust in God who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Did you catch the progression there? Paul says, God delivered us in the past, he's delivering us now, and he will deliver us in the future. What a statement of triumph and confidence. And you know something? You can have that confidence too. I know some people who have experienced very hard things in life, and some of them have become angry and disillusioned and bitter. But that wasn't Paul. Other people I know have clung to God throughout their disappointment and heartache, and they have come through the furnace of affliction with a powerful life witness for Jesus. Like Paul, they understood that God intervened so he would be glorified, and also so that their suffering would encourage other people. Are you going through a severe trial right now? Have you almost given up hope that change is possible? Have you allowed God to intervene in the situation, or are you still trying to muddle through on your own strength? You see, God wants to bring you to the point of complete dependence on him. He wants you to understand that his power alone is sufficient to meet your need. He wants you to come to the place where you have complete confidence in him. And then remember, your trial may not end like the one the Apostle Paul mentions here. We know that eventually he gave his life for the sake of the gospel. Yet even in that, he trusted God completely. He knew that divine intervention was a means to being delivered from death. And then there's a second means by which we are delivered from death. It is by human intercession. Notice the next thing that Paul wrote. He said, God delivered us, now listen, you also helping together in prayer for us. So Paul relied completely on God, but he also recognized the role of God's people in prayer. Intercessory prayer is crucial to the expression of God's power and his sovereign purpose. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote these words, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore let thy voice rise like a fountain for me day and night. For what are men better than sheep or goats that nourish a blind life within the brain, if knowing God, they lift not hands of prayer both for themselves and those who call them friend? For so the whole round earth is in every way bound by gold chains about the feet of God." When you and I engage in intercessory prayer, we often have no idea of what the result will be. But hopefully, we have enough experience with it that we'll continue to pray even when God seems silent, even when it seems like there's no answer. When Paul was going through his extreme trial, it may be that the Corinthian believers didn't know anything about it. But because they had him on their hearts, because they loved him as a brother in Christ, they were interceding for him before the throne of God. And the result of this intercession is what? That thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Paul's language here is picturesque. He says that out of many upturned faces in intercession, thanks may be given to God by many on our behalf. Now, the gift that Paul is referring to here must be the precious gift of deliverance from this impossible situation he had faced. And because the Corinthians were engaged in intercessory prayer, they also shared in the joy of Paul's deliverance. I want to tell you something, friend. If you have never experienced the joy of being part of an answer to someone's prayer, you're really missing something. The goal of prayer isn't to change God's plans. It's rather to see him glorified in those plans and then to thank him for them. You and I can be confident that God's sovereign plans will be accomplished, balanced by the faithful prayers of his people. Like the Corinthian believers, you and I may not know the dangers that are faced by those we love, but we can be confident that God hears our intercession on their behalf. And we can be confident that one of the means of being delivered from death, physical or spiritual, is human intercession. And then the final means by which we're delivered from death is by confident expression. Perhaps you're wondering what I mean by that. Paul writes in verse 12 about the testimony of his conscience. Paul testified in Acts 24:16 that he always did his best to maintain a conscience without offense toward God and men. So Paul knew what it meant to have a clear conscience. Do you have that same confident expression, the testimony of a clear conscience? But how does a clear conscience become a means of deliverance from death? Well, hold on, we'll get there shortly. Paul states that part of maintaining a clear conscience is to live a holy life in godly sincerity. Holiness and godly sincerity aren't intrinsic to us, that is, they're not something that you and I possess within ourselves. They are gifts from God, and the Apostle Paul recognized that. He also reminded the Corinthians that his teaching wasn't conducted in the power of fleshly wisdom, but rather it was in the grace of God. And it was this grace that was the motivation for his lifestyle choices, or today we would say his conduct. In other words, Paul taught the Corinthians that his lifestyle was lived in accordance with what he taught. It was a confident expression of what he believed. Remember, Paul had spent 18 months in Corinth, much longer than many other places where he had planted other churches. So the Corinthians had ample opportunity to observe his conduct. And then further, Paul gave confident expression through his communication. Some in Corinth had accused him of being deceptive, of being self-serving. But Paul reiterates that his writings to the Corinthian church were consistent with what he taught in person. He hadn't hidden anything from them. He didn't communicate with double meanings, and he had no secret agenda. Now back to the question, how does confident expression deliver us from death? Well, we've already noted that the death can be spiritual or physical. Let me summarize what I believe are Paul's motives as he expresses them here. First of all, he said, "My life is open to inspection. I have nothing to hide, and that allows me to have a clear conscience." And then second, "I live the life of purity and holiness. You saw that when I was with you. I didn't teach you one thing and then live by another standard." And then finally, "I lived among you with transparent sincerity. What you saw is what I was and what I am." These three aspects of conscience, conduct, and communication will play a key role in our deliverance from death. You see, a guilty conscience causes one to be secretive and dishonest. It also causes harshness in judging the sins of other people. Ungodly conduct hastens spiritual death in you and me, and it also impacts those who are looking to us for a godly example. inconsistent communication brings confusion. It may bring charges of favoritism, and it brings strife. I urge you to think on these things and then allow the Holy Spirit to make application to your own life and experience. Paul closes this section by reminding the Corinthians of their mutual rejoicing with him. He knew that some of the believers in Corinth had embraced Christ and the teaching that he had given them. He encouraged them to look forward to the day when that mutual appreciation would be expressed when they were in the presence of the Lord Jesus. My friend, have you discovered the means by which you can be delivered from death to live with confidence? Whether that death is physical or spiritual, it can only be avoided by divine intervention. Jesus intervened in rescuing Paul from the peril of physical death. And maybe he's done that for you, too. I know he's done it for me. But you and I must understand how much more important it is to be delivered from spiritual death. And then, what about human intercession? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Have you experienced it personally? Have your prayers resulted in divine intervention in the lives of other people? I realize that you and I may not know the impact of our prayers on this side of eternity, but they enable us to tap into the power of God to bring deliverance from death. Remember, as Tennyson said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And then finally, is your confident expression delivering yourself and others from death? Is your conscience clear? Is your conduct in harmony with what the Scripture teaches? And is your communication consistent and trustworthy? If these things are true, you can be sure that these means will deliver you and those around you from death.
Be
My friend, when we accept the gift of salvation through Jesus, we are also agreeing to become His disciple, His follower. And that obligates us to obey His teaching, to live a holy life. Otherwise, we're His followers in name only. Listen to these words of Jesus. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit abides with those who keep the commandments of Jesus. Were you blessed by this teaching? Praise God. And if you'd like to share this teaching with a friend, you can get a printed transcript or a digital audio file for them. Or you can just point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to the program whenever it's convenient for them. To get a copy of this teaching, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call us at 866-960-0292 or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Just ask for the teaching, Delivered from Death, either in print or a digital audio file. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially, too, by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, ensures that the Voice of Hope will be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. And until we meet again, celebrate your deliverance from death through life in Jesus.
Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me, he purchased me, he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, he sealed my cross, he sealed my pardon. Paid the debt and made me free, and made me free, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. I will sing of my Redeemer, his triumph.
Sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing, oh, my.